Hi everyone, I'm Liam, and welcome to another episode of Exploring the NQS, a bonus series from the Early Education Show exclusively for our Patreon supporters. So if you're listening to this, that means you're supporting the main show, which means I want to start with a big thank you. The main show will always be free, but those of you who choose to actually support us financially really, really help us out. In Exploring the NQS, I take a look at one element of the National Quality Standard, one at a time, until I've covered all 40. My background is as an early childhood educator and teacher, centre director, and I currently oversee professional learning and development for Northside Community Service, a not-for-profit early education provider based in Canberra. So, let's get started. This week, it's element 1.3.1, Assessment and Planning Cycle. It's part of Quality Area 1, Educational Program and Practice, and it's the first element of Standard 1.3, Assessment and Planning. The description for this element is: each child's learning and development is assessed or evaluated as part of an ongoing cycle of observation, analysing learning, documentation, planning, implementation, and reflection. All right, so what's this one all about? This is a big one. I'm actually not sure how I'm going to get through this in 15 minutes. I'm probably either going to go a bit long or I'm going to have to just do a pretty big summary. This is one I really recommend. Go out and do some further reading on, look for other sources of information. The other plan for this episode is I'm going to be spending a bit more time on this section, the what's it all about section, than I normally do. I normally get this one out of the way pretty quickly and then go on to in practice. I'm going to spend a bit more time in this one because I think this is one of the most misunderstood parts of the National Quality Standard. And we also know from ASEQA's rating results that it's one of the elements that's least likely to be met across Australia. So we know it's one that maybe isn't that well understood. So I'm going to spend more time on this what's it all about section and then a bit less on the in practice session because the in practice will be informed by this. It needs to look really different in each service and how you do it. I don't want to be giving advice on the in practice session if we don't have the foundations of this part right. There's not a lot of point giving too much guidance on the in practice section, although we will spend a bit of time on that. So in terms of what this is all about, this is really about getting down to that idea of that's the cycle of planning. So we see this in the Educator's Guide to the Early Years Learning Framework. There's a slightly updated version in the new Guide to the National Quality Framework, which I'd really recommend you check out. It's in this under this element, 1.3.1. You can see it. The whole point of this planning cycle is this is an agreed cycle of planning that's come through the development of the National Quality Standard, the development of the Early Years Learning Framework, and My Time, Our Place. And it's the cycle that, you know, has been agreed by experts and by the people developing all this stuff is the best way for children's learning to be supported, to be guided in conjunction with the Early Years Learning Framework. So at its most fundamental level, it's about making sure we're hitting all the points on that planning cycle. And all those points are actually in the description for the element. So it's observation, analyzing learning, documentation, planning, implementation, and reflection. So there's a few different things there, but they're all understandable and they're all achievable for every single service and for every single child as well. So it's about, you know, the first thing is about making sure that we have a really good understanding of that planning cycle. What does it look like? Really using the information we have in the Guide to the NQF and in the Early Years Learning Framework as well. It's also important to remember this is something that's about how robust our approach to learning is. You know, you often hear, and this is completely understandable, this is a bit outside the remit of this podcast, but, you know, educators are time poor, there's lots of stresses in terms of what they have to do. You can find a lot of stuff online about how challenging using the planning cycle and how challenging documentation are for people. And I often hear comments like, why can't they just trust us? Why do we have to write everything down? There's two really important responses to that right away. One is, we don't have to write everything down. I'm going to talk about quality over quantity a bit later. But the second thing is this is about children's learning. You know, these are children in the first 5 years. We know how important the first 5 years are for children. It's actually not good enough that we just trust people to get on with it. We should have to prove that we're working in the best ways for children. We should have to evidence that children are learning while they're with us. It's actually not good enough that we just think, well, I'm sure they're doing a good job. So the first thing is about having a positive attitude to this element. There's a good reason for it to be there, and there are ways that we can do it that minimize the amount of documentation and actually support children to succeed. The other big picture thing here is it's important to remember, so there are 9 elements in Quality Area 1. We're up to the 7th here. We've got 2 more to go. And this is really the only one that has a huge, strong focus on documentation. you know, the actual practice of working with children is so much more important and so much better highlighted in this quality area, but we really focus on documentation. We really get stressed about documentation. And I think that's because it's in black and white. You know, it can be analyzed and taken apart. It's much harder to do that with ongoing, you know, daily practice with children. It's hard to put a red cross next to that kind of thing. Whereas with documentation, you can do that. It's kind of out there in the open. It makes us vulnerable. And I understand that. And I've been in that position myself. But again, we just need to realize this is only a part of what we have to do. And if you look in that, how the planning cycle is put together, documentation is just one part of the planning cycle as well. So the first thing to do is take a breath, not stress about it so much. It's only one small part of the overall approach we need to take to both this element and to this quality area in general. And the way to think about it is, particularly for documentation, but for the planning cycle as well, it's about making learning visible. That's a big thing we talk about in practice, and you'll be hearing that phrase a lot during all of these podcast episodes. But it's about saying, you know, how robust is our approach to learning? Are we using that planning cycle? And really importantly, do we understand it and can we articulate it? If someone walks in off the street with no knowledge of early childhood education, but, you know, say a family, can we really articulate why this is happening? If we can articulate it, we can understand it. And that's great for assessment and rating as well. One of the things I want to talk about in this section, so this section is sort of called What's It All About? I want to do a few things here about what it's not about, because there are a lot of myths around this particular element, but quality area one in general. What it's not about is you have to do 5 observations per child per month. It's not about that you have to have a weekly program for every day with activity plans. It's not about having huge amounts of documentation for every child. It's not about having a portfolio for every child. It's really important to remember that the National Quality Standard does not provide specific guidance about how this is to be implemented. It's meant to be worked out at a service level. And that's really important. And that's actually really positive. You should all feel really happy that that's taking place. What that's saying is that the people developing these documents, the people who developed the National Quality Standard, knew that every service was different. And even if you look at the big extremes, you know, a centre that's in, you know, the 10th floor of a high-rise building in a metro city somewhere is obviously going to be radically different to somewhere in a really rural, a really remote community. You cannot have one approach to learning that suits those two communities. So what the people who put these approaches together say is that you know your children and your community best. You in the service are in the best place to decide how this should be done. So actually take some ownership of that and be really positive about that. That's actually a really great thing they did. So you don't have to have a particular number of, you don't have to have a particular template. You don't have to have a particular number of things that have to be done. You have to develop something that suits you and your community and meets the requirements of this element. But there are a lot of ways to meet the requirements of this element. One of the big issues we have when I meet with educators who talk about they're just overwhelmed with documentation, usually the first thing that comes out is they're just doing too much and they're doing things that aren't required. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that in practice. But remember that the key thing, and when I come back to the guide for the nominated supervisor, is develop an approach you're comfortable with and implement it really clearly. All right, time's ticking away already. I really wish I had half an hour to spend on this one. But let's look at in practice now. This is really, as we sort of said in the previous section, this will look really individual and unique for every service. And that's the same for every single element. But for this one, I do want to make sure I'm not giving people saying this is the solution to quality area one. I can't do that in 15 minutes, and B, that'll only work for some services. It really has to be developed by you. But in the things we should see in practice, so if I was walking into a service and talking with people about their approach to this element and quality area one in general, the first thing to think about is that you would see an agreed approach across all classrooms. You wouldn't see the toddler room doing something radically different to the nursery room. You wouldn't see the junior part of the school age care program doing something radically different to the senior part of the program. You wouldn't hear things like, well, I don't know what they do in that room, but we do it this way. There would be an agreed approach. The service as a whole has an approach and everyone's agreed on it, and that's what's being implemented. Also really importantly, that everyone understands that approach, at least in overview. Obviously the difference between the educational leader of the service and a team leader of the service versus someone who's maybe just started and is maybe just studying their Certificate 3. They'll have different understandings, but at least everyone understands in overview how this is done, and they understand their part in it. Are they collecting documentation? Are they supporting the team leader to analyze learning? How much people do we have in different roles doing those kind of things? Where does the center director and the educational leader sit in this? So everyone understands the overview of the process and understands their part in it. And then the next thing to think about is how are educators using the documentation? This is a really important concept, and it's something I spend a huge amount of time on when I do workshops on Quality Area 1. I'd probably devote about 45 minutes to an hour pretty much just on this point. So I'm getting very stressed as I realize I've just hit the 10-minute mark of this podcast and have about 5 minutes to go. But really, really briefly, it's important to remember that the National Quality Framework kind of provides us a lot of guidance around the purpose of documentation and who it is for. And it's really clear that the documentation is for educators. Educators are writing documentation to support their observation of children, to analyze children's learning, and then to plan and implement that learning. It's really important that we're not writing it for families. Families are not the audience for the documentation. Families have a right, they actually have a legal right under the National Quality Framework, under the Education and Care Services National Law, to have access to the documentation about their children. But we should remember, we're not writing it for them. We're writing it for ourselves, and then we're being really positive about sharing that with families. The difference there is, and it may seem like that's a crazy difference to people, and I do understand that. The difference there is if we're writing for families, that means we're writing things like endless day books, we're doing portfolios, we're doing all these things that families love, and of course they do. They want to see their child highlighted, and they want to see all the things that are interesting to families, but they may not be as interesting to us, and they may not be as supporting us to further children's learning. A great example for this of me is always the birthday parties. Now, let's say you're in a preschool room and you might have 22 children a day. That means you might have 35 to 40 children across the week. Are you really going to document every single birthday party you do for each child? My argument is that once you've done that once, you probably reach the point of documentation you can do there. And I would argue, as educators and teachers, it's not necessarily our job to be doing that. You know, have the celebration, celebrate the child if you want, but what are the learning outcomes for the child there? You can probably come up with some, and people often do, but I'd argue they can be done in better ways. So that's just a really simple example of, if we were only documenting for ourselves, we probably wouldn't document that process quite as much. Maybe we take a photo and share it with the family, but that's kind of separate to our learning and planning. So that's a really important lens to put over what we do. Only document something if it's going to help you do your job. That's the best advice I can give educators, and it immediately cuts down the amount of documentation you're doing, because you're not writing for other audiences, you're writing for yourself and sharing it with those other audiences. This is a point, you know, I have an article on my blog about documentation that's worth reading, because I just don't have enough time to go into it here. But that's a really important part of the process. The other thing is just, how is that planning cycle embedded in what you're doing? So can you see those examples of observation, the analysis of learning, documentation, planning, implementation, and reflection? Can you see those in what's happening in the classroom? It's important to remember, it's not just documentation. That can be discussion. That can be meetings. That can be reflections that people are having. The other bit of advice I put here is if you look at the description for the element, it says each child's learning and development is assessed. We need to get a lot more comfortable with assessment in early childhood. I think there's a really negative connotation with that word, and I understand, but we need to get comfortable with it. Assessment can be as good or as bad as how we do it. Assessment doesn't mean we have to get out a checklist of, you know, the 10 things a child needs to do by the time they're X, Y, Z. That to me is not assessment. Assessment means seeing what a child's doing, taking observations of a child, taking a holistic view of where they're at, not just literacy and numeracy, but resilience, well-being, sense of identity, and providing and analysing that and providing an overall assessment of where each child's at. So the other bit of advice is, become comfortable with assessment and find a way to do it that you are comfortable with, that suits your service, that suits your community, that suits the children you work with. All right, we're on to the suggestions for nominated supervisors section now. It's important, you know, this one is pretty simple, really. If this is an area you're struggling with, and you may not be, like, there are obviously services doing this really well, but we know from the results that a lot of services are struggling with this. The best advice I can give, and I know it sounds kind of silly, is just devote some time. If you're a centre director, nominated supervisor, just take, you know, a month, something like that, and just nail this. Like, just spend a month and say, I'm going to spend a month on it, and then I'm done. We are going with the approach we have agreed, and we are moving on. That's actually really important. And we kind of went through this process here at Northside, where we just said, we need to stop talking about this, and we need to stop worrying about it and stressing about it. We just need to develop an approach, implement it effectively across all of our classrooms, and move on. The best way to do that is just to read the law, the regulations, read the relevant sections under Quality Area 1 for both the law and the regulations, and then read the guide to the National Quality Framework for this particular element, but the standard as well, just over and over again. And because that will eliminate any of the myths. That will take away things like, if we're starting from scratch, we won't do 5 observations per child per month. We will just see what they're asking us to do and then develop a consistent approach that is ongoing, is not focused on, you know, the week to week. You don't have to have a program, you know, for every week of the year. You don't, even if you have programming time once a week, that doesn't mean you have to have a program every week. You want an approach that suits, you know, a whole year. Again, this is a, I wish, you know, if I had a lot more time on this podcast, I'd be spending more time on this. But one of the other big misunderstandings people have is that they think the planning cycle needs to be attached to every single thing we do. So you have to have the planning cycle in all your templates. You have to have the planning cycle in all your programs. The planning cycle is about your overall approach. What do you do throughout the year? When do you do things like maybe summative assessments, which I'd really recommend having a look at, where you know, look at maybe the early years learning framework for each child once every 3 months or once every 4 months or once every 6 months and see where children are at. But develop a consistent approach and just implement it and get everyone on board. But, you know, as nominated supervisor, you have the right to say, this is how we're doing it and we're moving on. Not focus on the week to week and looking, you know, something that, you know, even if we think about in terms of a year and children are with us in classroom for a year. And just make sure you've hit all those points that are in the planning cycle. Observation, analyzing learning, documentation, planning, implementation, reflection. There are a lot of points there, but they're all understandable. They can all be cracked and you can develop an approach that you'll be comfortable with and has less documentation on it as well. And, you know, that's the second point, which is focus on quality, not quantity. Develop some approaches that use the early years learning framework. Don't go online and look for a template. Don't go and onto a Facebook group and ask this question. Use the learning frameworks. Use the outcomes as your primary thing. How are you supporting children to develop a strong sense of identity? How are you finding evidence that children have a strong sense of identity? What does a strong sense of identity mean for educators and for children? You don't need to go beyond there. And that means you don't need to use endless amounts of writing as well. Really focus on, you know, short paragraphs, you know, short things that just capture where you're at and where your thinking is at with these elements. I really recommend the use of summative assessments for those as well. Another little bit of advice here, just as we go way over time, but I think I may have said it, you know, in the first episode of this podcast, is I don't want this to be about preparing for assessment and rating. You know, listening to this guide won't help anyone do that necessarily. But I do want to do a bit of advice here I give to everyone, which is particularly in this point, if you have assessment and rating coming up or you're preparing for it, a lot of it is just about confidence. If the assessor can sort of tell when services don't have a strong understanding of what they're doing, or maybe they do, but they're nervous and not everyone's on the same page, it's really important to just have confidence in how you do it. Don't wait for the assessor to come in and ask how you do something. My view is, you know, they're visitors in your service. They have the honor of seeing the work you're doing and the work you do with children and the community. Don't wait to be asked. You know, hit them over the head with the amazing work you're doing. Go in explaining how and why you do what you do. And a lot of that confidence, because, you know, is just about meaning that you have a really strong understanding of why you do what you do. If you don't have that confidence, the interpretation can be that maybe you don't have a very strong grasp on why you're doing what you're doing, fairly or unfairly. But that confidence is really, really important. Go in with that idea. And then with the quality improvement plan, just a couple of quick things here. The thing I would be looking for is we have a consistent approach to assessing and evaluating children's learning across every classroom, which really means about how we use that planning cycle. And then that all educators understand and can talk about the cycle of planning. But, you know, those two things will set you in really good stead for cracking this element. All right, that's it for another week. We've gone a bit over this one, and I wish I had so much more time to talk about it. But this is one where go and find some more information about this, but please don't go, you know, to an online group. Don't do something like that. Go straight to aseqa.gov.au. Read both the guide to the National Quality Framework for this element and this standard. But the national education leader, Rhonda Livingston, also has blogs and a whole range of guidance on this particular topic. You can find it direct from the source. Go to there. Don't go to other sources. But we'll be back with element 1.3.2. We're pretty much nearly wrapped up with this standard pretty soon. So until then, it's goodbye from me.